This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Does Thomas Tuchel have a point? Is the Wembley atmosphere flat?
He does have a point.
Scotland, the inexplicable?
There have been trains and banks that were more ethically burgled than what Scotland did to Greece last night.
And who are currently the dirtiest side in the Premier League? Hello, I'm Ian McIntosh. This is Football Fast No Faff. Let's go Route 1 in association with Jolson. England beat Wales 3-0 at Wembley last night, and we could discuss the blistering start they made, scoring 3 goals in 20 minutes, and we could discuss how Morgan Rodgers' form raises questions over Jude Bellingham's place in the side. But we're actually quite taken with manager Thomas Tuchel and his sudden attack on the England fans. The stadium was silent. Silent, he said. We never got any energy back from the crowd. It's odd timing from Tuchel because having overwhelmed Serbia last month, it felt like he might have silenced a few dissenting voices and maybe now wasn't the best time to kick off on his own fans. But has he got a point? Is the atmosphere at Wembley flat? In the England sections, anyway. The atmosphere in the Welsh section sounded pretty good. James Wellham is a member of the England Supporters Travel Club and a regular attendee at Wembley. James, is Thomas right? Should the supporters be giving the team more?
He does have a point. It was a bit tepid. Friendlies at Wembley rarely get the crowd going, and there are a few reasons for that. One, it's a friendly. They're never going to get the juices really flowing like a competitive fixture. Secondly, there were a lot of families there. That's not a problem. England do a fantastic job getting families into games with cheap ticket deals. A family of four can usually go for about £75. But families tend not to provide too much in terms of a raucous atmosphere. Thirdly, you've got Wembley itself. The way it's built, noise does disappear into the North West London night. Plus, it's hard to get consistent noise going with such a big crowd. That said, the best atmosphere I ever experienced at a game was at Wembley when England beat Germany back in Euro 2020. So if Thomas can get us back to another big Wembley game, say the final of Euro 2028, then I think he'll have an atmosphere to be proud of.
Starting a new business can be incredibly daunting. I've done it 3 times now. It still gives me the heebie-jeebies. However, my most recent venture, this one, was a lot less stressful thanks to Jolson. They're a B Corp certified commercial law firm, which means they're committed to using their business as a force for good through their social and environmental performance, while, you know, also being really, really good at what they do. From startup to exit and everything in between, they've worked with brands like Innocent, Proper, Addison Lee, Tenzing, and Lucky Saint, to name just a few. And Jolson are offering 10 listeners of this podcast a free legal consultation with one of their lawyers on issues relating to fundraising, IP, manufacturing, partnership agreements, or employment issues. Visit www.jolsonlaw.com/route1 to submit your request. Jolson guided us through company setup, investment, shareholder agreements, all the legal stuff that, I'll be quite honest, it terrifies me. So if you want stress-free expert legal advice for your business, check out www.jolsonlaw.com, who are proud sponsors of this week's Route 1, and you'll find all of those details in the episode description. Scotland beat Greece 3-1 last night. It's an absolutely immense result for Steve Clarke and his side. But it's absolutely inexplicable for anyone who saw the game. Greece pulled them to pieces. They should have scored long before they broke the deadlock on the hour. And then Scotland, well, I have no words. JJ Bull, how on earth did they win this? And are they going to do a classic Scotland now by winning the hard game and messing up the easier one at home to Belarus on Sunday?
The only way to explain it is by saying the words set pieces and I don't know. Because Scotland were the worst team by far. Greece were absolutely robbed. There have been trains and banks that were more ethically burgled than what Scotland did to Greece last night. I don't know. Honestly terrible. One of the worst performances I've seen from Scotland in a long, long time. There were players on the pitch who don't even know were there. Scott McTominay was there, apparently. Was he, though? I don't know if I saw him. And after Greece missed open goals, tap-ins, the easiest chance, Greece should have been 3-0 up. And then somehow Scotland managed to not be 3-0 down and eventually managed to hoof the ball in the back of the net from a stramash in the box from a set piece. Another set piece, just to hoof the ball in the box, managed to score from that as well. And then later on, Lyndon Dykes did his very best to miss an open goal after the goalkeeper has a malfunction and passes the ball to him in front of an empty net. Really, really weird game. And all the questions over what Steve Clark is to say was hoping would happen disappear because we got the points. And then, as you've alluded to, it's likely that Scotland will now find a way to draw or lose to Belarus. But there's newfound optimism because this game against Greece is the kind of thing that normally we would have lost because we deserved to. But perhaps the universe is being more just and giving us our rewards for the past 100 years of football where we've not achieved anything. So, yeah, I'm pretty pleased with that. Greece, if they lose to Denmark, in fact, I think if they don't beat Denmark, we'll be out, which is a shame because they have some really good players. Karatsis come on later on. He's a fantastic player. Yeah, really unfair. Sorry, Greece. The Greeks would describe this as Malakias. If you don't know what that means, you can look it up. Enjoy.
And you can find JJ Bull over at The Athletic. Search him up on YouTube and definitely, definitely, definitely find his album on Spotify. We're in the eye of the international storm, and that means we're digging into football with a shovel covered in numbers. And yes, that sounds very dull, like an unholy mix of gardening and maths. But you can make anything cool with the right soundtrack. Welcome to Heavy Metal Football Statistics.
Fire up, producer Helena.
We've done a lot of stuff on individuals this week, so we're looking at teams today. But first, a quick word about XG. It does occasionally get a bad press. There's always an X player out there somewhere ready to rail against the rise of the numbers, but I came across the numbers for the big five leagues as a whole, and they're very impressive. La Liga's XG is 1.31 goals per game, and La Liga has registered thus far this season 1.31 goals per game. Serie A is supposed to have 1.18, it has 1.19, they're all really close. The biggest outlier is the Bundesliga with 1.49 goals expected and 1.66 delivered, but I think we can blame that entirely on Eintracht Frankfurt. Anyway, over on Track Record, our fancy new website linked in the episode description, Danny Kelly has written a fine piece about the changing style of football and how we're leaving the tippy-tappy era behind for a world of big lads and long throws. But there are still some non-believers. And it's the usual suspects. Across the five major leagues, Paris Saint-Germain lead the way for possession with an average of 70.3%, just ahead of Barcelona, who have 70, ridiculous numbers. Real Madrid, Bayern Munich, Inter, Napoli and Liverpool all have 61% average possession. You know the type. But there are a couple of surprises further down. Como and Elche in 13th and 15th. Now, Elche are 7th in La Liga right now, so expect to see this free-flowing progressive manager, Eder Sarabia, being mentioned in the press before too long in connection with jobs if they keep that sort of thing up. At the other end, we have Union Berlin with 31%. They are 13th in the Bundesliga, though, so it's not doing them any harm. Burnley are second with 35%, they're not doing quite as well, and Angers are third, so no real surprises there. When it comes to fouls, well, it's the Spanish teams who dominate that table, largely because they've played one more game. In their respective nations, though, the teams to avoid if you have sensitive shins are Alaves, Lyon, Hellas Verona, Hoffenheim, and Fulham! Fulham, lovely Fulham with their lovely cottage behind the river, are officially the dirtiest team in the Premier League. I am shooketh. And finally, let's have a look at shot creation from dead ball situations. So this is the number of free kicks, corners, throw-ins, goal kicks and kickoffs that have led to an attempt on goal. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking Arsenal. But they're actually down in 29th across the big five leagues with 15 shots from dead ball situations. It's Inter who topped the charts with 23, followed by Real Sociedad and Toulouse and our old friends possession-phobic Union Berlin. Crystal Palace are actually the best in the Premier League at creating shots from dead ball situations. And hang your heads, Werder Bremen. They have created just 3 shots from dead balls all season. 3 in 6 games. Mind you, Liverpool have only created 7. Room for improvement there, Arne Slot. And they were your heavy metal football statistics. Just in case you didn't see any football last night, Scotland's excellent win was matched by Denmark, who beat Belarus 6-0. They are neck and neck now at the top of Group C. The Netherlands took control of Group G. They beat Malta 4-0. The Czech Republic and Croatia drew 0-0. And I was not being presumptuous about Austria. They beat San Marino 10-0. There's more football tonight. Germans everywhere will be hoping that Northern Ireland can beat Slovakia. That's on the BBC. I'm fairly sure that Germany will do their bit against Luxembourg. That's an Amazon pay-per-view, as is France against Azerbaijan. That was Route 1. It was Football Fast, No Faff. It's here every weekday at about 3 p.m. If you like it, give it a follow. And if you really like it, give it a review. Thanks so much to Jolson, who sponsored us for the past couple of weeks. Remember to check out that incredibly generous offer in the episode description. I've been Ian McIntosh. Your audio producer was Helena Freemantle. Lola Cats Roberts and Sophie Manners are on the socials. We'll see you next week.